This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We want to balance a budget. We want to have a balanced budget within a reasonably short period of time, meaning maybe by next year or the year after, but maybe even sooner than that.
So President Trump speaking at the cabinet meeting there about wanting a balanced budget. There are a few things that are going to have to happen before that takes place. And one of those very first steps was we needed something that the Senate and the House could pass, could agree on to get it to the president's desk about the budget that we're talking about right now, the tax cuts that we're talking about right now, the funding for the southern border protections that he campaigned on. Lots to talk about, which is why we bring our expert friend in. Ryan Schmelz back with us, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. We welcome back to the show, Ryan Schmelz. Ryan, thanks for being here today. It's good to have you.
Of course. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. We'll take it. It's not too bad here in St. Louis. Can you kind of set the table for us? We've talked about what the Senate has been able to do successfully. Maybe even kind of bring us up to speed with that and then add in what the House was able to do as well.
So the Senate and the House both passed their own bills. The House version has about $350 billion for border and national security. You also have $4.5 trillion in tax cuts and $2 trillion in spending cuts, plus an increase in the debt ceiling. However, the Senate version has the national security and the border security part of it, but they have not come to their agreement on tax cuts. So it looks like the big holdup right now is seeing if both of these sides can come to some type of agreement on raising the debt ceiling in tax law, as well as the spending cuts that they're working on, too.
Okay, so Ryan, just bring it back to like Schoolhouse Rock days for us. You've got a Senate bill and you've got a House bill. They both passed it. I'm guessing that the two, like the other House chamber, could pass the other one's bill and then it would go to the president's desk. It's probably not going to be that simple, I suspect.
Mm-hmm.
What happens now?
Yeah, I mean, the House would tell you the easiest thing to do would be if just the Senate passes their bill, then they could just move on to the next phase. But, you know, there's, I think, some disagreement, some pushback on the Senate side where they would like to see the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 become permanent. But the House Republicans, at least some of the more conservative members, are saying, that's fine, we can make the tax cuts permanent, but if you want to do that, you have to give us a way to pay for it. And that's kind of been the big holdup this entire time was, if we're going to go ahead and cut taxes, especially $4.5 trillion, we need to have spending cuts to offset those provisions. So that's where you get the $2 trillion in spending cuts there.
So, you know, especially coming from Senator Bernie Sanders, every time I hear him talking, he's talking about how Republicans are trying to cut Medicaid or whatever it is. What kind of commitments have the Republicans in the Senate, the Republicans in the House, or maybe the Republicans as a whole made towards potential cuts for Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, these things that a lot of Americans rely on, very sensitive issues for people listening to this show right now? Where are the Republicans at on possible cutbacks that might occur with some of those different programs?
Right. So there are no official plans to touch Medicaid in this bill. Now, what Democrats keep pointing out is that there is $850 billion in cuts scheduled under the Energy and Commerce Committee in the House bill. That is the committee that funds Medicaid and a bunch of other health programs. So Democrats are arguing that there is no way you find $850 billion in cuts, especially when you're trying to get to $2 trillion in spending cuts, without touching those types of programs. Now, Republicans have pushed back on this. President Trump has said consistently, and some other Republicans too have said consistently, that they are not planning to touch Medicaid. They do not want to touch Medicaid in some of these programs, but some are a little more open to ideas like work requirements and also searching for Medicaid fraud. They think if they kind of zone in on those two things, they'd be able to make or maybe find some type of savings in there without touching the major programs that people rely on. But Democrats obviously are pushing back on that notion.
Ryan, this is Ryan Wiggins. When you say, I've heard many people say this before, that the Republicans are looking to make some of these, like the tax cuts, for instance, permanent. How does that work since this is a budget reconciliation bill? That seems like something that they would have to do separately from the bill. Is that right?
Right. So reconciliation pretty much allows them to pass a whole bunch of items without having to get 50 or 60 votes in the Senate. They can do this on a simple majority. So there's a lot of different items that they're going to probably try to put into this, right? So you have the tax law side of things, you have the spending cuts, you've got the military and the border funding that's in there too. And they also have energy policy they want to put in there, which hasn't really gotten a lot of attention, but that's probably one of the big other things that could go in there as well. So you would have to vote on, I think, all these things separately, and then they kind of combine it into one giant package, and they pass it through the House and the Senate that way. So the kind of the disagreement when it comes to the taxes is, in the House Republican bill, I believe they extend it for another 10 years, whereas the Senate, they want to make it permanent so they don't have to come back and try to renew it every once in a while, which is what they're doing right now, essentially.
We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz. He's the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. I don't know how much this hits the wings that you are walking through there on Capitol Hill, but the dust up, the confrontation, we're trying to think of the perfect word for what you would call what took place in the Oval Office between Trump and Zelensky on Friday. Does that reach into the halls of Congress, especially on the eve of a joint address to Congress that President Trump will be presenting tomorrow night?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all. In really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcast.
So let's just put it this way. Last week, Annie, we had a question for Leader Jeffries, the top House Democrat. The question was, what is your relationship like with Speaker Johnson? His answer was, Rosa DeLauro and top House Democrats are working on negotiations to keep the government open. He flat out did not answer the question. So that kind of shows you the tension that's already in this building. And that was before what happened on Friday. So I think when we're heading into the State of the Union, we were already expecting a very testy room in there. I think this could only get worse after what you saw on Friday. I mean, you're seeing Democrats make the accusation this was a setup.
Yeah.
This was an ambush. I've heard some say they think that J.D. Vance went in there looking for blood because he has been somebody who's been probably one of the biggest Zelensky critics in all of Congress since his time there, if not the biggest Zelensky critic. So you hear a lot of different things like that. Obviously, the Trump administration has pushed back on some of those notions, and they've made the claim that they were actually the ones who were taken aback by what happened in there. But this has definitely created a lot of drama here, and I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon until this peace agreement potentially comes to fruition.
Well, Ryan, you know, when you're preparing for a joint address to Congress, there's kind of a pomp and circumstance about it. I love to watch it. I have to, like, mentally focus and prepare myself when I don't really love the guy or the girl who's in office. When it's my president that I voted for, I think, okay, let's go. Let's hear what he has to say. So, of course, it's a polarizing thing for American voters, taxpayers, and constituents to take in. But whenever Donald Trump is involved, there's always just a little extra spice in the mix. What are you hearing about what Democrats are preparing to do for this address tomorrow night? Will they show up? Are they going to protest? How are they going to present their side during that joint address in Congress tomorrow?
I haven't heard any major boycott efforts just yet. I think the big protest from Democrats is going to come from who their guests are, which is not shocking for any elected official of the opposite party to do. Right. A lot of Democrats are going to be bringing a lot of different workers who've been laid off within the federal government. You also have some others who might bring some maybe Ukrainian fighters or somebody who has ties to that conflict. So I think that's kind of where you're seeing the focus right now. And you might see people bring maybe DACA recipients or people who've been impacted by ICE raids. I think most of the protest, at least so far from what I'm hearing, is usually through the guests that they're bringing and not so much flat out walking out or just not being there. But could there be some other ideas that we see thrown out in the next 24 hours? I think it's certainly possible. But I think just everything's on the table at this point.
Yeah, it's got to be exciting, Ryan, for you to be. I don't know if that's the right word, but we know that keeping you on your toes, and we're grateful you give us some of your time to bring us up to speed. Thank you for being here, Ryan.
Hey, always great to be on, Annie. Thank you.
Thank you so much.